I want to share a story. I like to share a story before I open my message, and it pertains, of course, to the message. And it's about this guy named Zach. Now, Zach, kind of a lonely kind of a guy, started walking down the city streets one day, and he could actually feel the hostile glares of the townspeople as he was walking down the street. But one day, that all changed for Zach. The reason being because it says in Clement of Alexandria, one of the church fathers, said Zach became a very prominent Christian leader as a pastor of the church in Caesarea. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, and he was the one that climbed the sycamore tree so that he could seek out Jesus in the crowd. Amen? So we know that as tax collectors, they were perceived as traitors to their own people. Why? Because they taxed their own people very heavily to what? To support the Roman Empire. The thing about Zacchaeus, what prompted him to climb that sycamore tree? Well, Zacchaeus thought, well, Jesus kind of has the reputation for accepting us tax collectors, because, right, Matthew, he accepted Matthew, and so Zacchaeus realized that maybe Jesus would accept him too. So with that, he climbs up in the sycamore tree because he was so short, and he's around all these people that also wanted to see Jesus coming into town, but Zacchaeus, because of his stature, he was so short, he could not see Jesus. So, of course, he climbs the sycamore tree, and he perches up there. So with that, he doesn't realize that because he was seeking Jesus at the same time, Jesus was seeking him. And I'm sure because Zacchaeus, having the kind of lifestyle that he had of being a tax collector, that was probably the most unexpected thing for him to perceive, that Jesus would want to have anything to do with him. You know, it's one thing for Jesus to forgive me, but for Jesus to, you know, notice me? Nah, he'll never notice me. But he climbs up in this sycamore tree, and as Jesus gets close to that tree where Zacchaeus was perched, he looks up, and it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 5, it says, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, because I want to go to your house today. Can you imagine how unexpected or surprised Zacchaeus was with that? Jesus found it necessary. He found it necessary to be the guest to an outcast in his home. Imagine the Savior of the world, the Savior of the world wanting to spend time with a social reject. But isn't that just like our Jesus? That's where you come and say, amen, amen, amen. But what I want to talk about today is expecting the unexpected from God. No matter what it is that we go through, if we have a broken heart or a broken relationship, or we feel that we've been rejected, we know that Jesus is never going to reject us. That Jesus is always going to be there to what? To restore, to mend, to heal. He's the one who has a plan. He has a purpose. And Zacchaeus knew that. Now, the word unexpected means surprise. It's something that you're going to be surprised to experience or surprised to hear. That's what unexpected is. So as God's children, there are things that we can do that we can expect from God because we are God's children. Because it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe. Now, the thing about that is we never know how God's going to mend a situation or fix a problem or deal with an issue or a circumstance. We don't know how he's going to do that. We don't know when he's going to do it. But that's where our faith comes in. He promises us time and time again throughout his word that he says, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so when we, as God's children, do what's expected of us. See, there's a thing right there. When we, as God's children, do what's expected of us, then we can see the unexpected things that God has for us, but it's done maybe in a marvelous way. So there's a couple of stories I'm going to share about that. But how many times have we read, countless times, over and over again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where unexpected happened. Unexpected happened. Let's go to Abraham and Sarah. We all know that was certainly unexpected. Sarah and Abraham having a child in their old age of 90-some years old. How about Joseph getting summoned? He was in prison. He's getting summoned by Pharaoh. Who'd have ever thought? It's one thing to be released from prison, but he was summoned by Pharaoh. That was very unexpected. How about Moses being swooped up out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter? Or how about David? David getting called out before Samuel the prophet. Now the thing about that one though, it's one thing to get, do a special thing for the Lord. But think about it. David had many brothers before him, 6-7 brothers before him. And if any king would have been picked out of those brothers, it would have been the first one or the strongest looking one . But as Samuel said, God does not look on the outward. He looks on the inward. And David had what it took on the inside of him to be what God wanted him to be, to do what God wanted him to do. Some people might look and, for example, I looked at myself in the mirror and said, there's no way that, God, you've called me to be the pastor. It's my husband you've called to be the pastor. And for years, my husband would say, no, honey, I'm sorry. It's you. It's not me. And I was so frustrated because it was like, no, he's called you. I just want to be the pastor's wife. I like being, I want that. But this is where I am today. I love it, and I thank the Lord for it. But to look at myself in the mirror and say, you're the one that's been called? Absolutely not. But again, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. He sees the heart. He's the one that put that desire in you. So with that, let's go to how about Elijah, who is chosen by Elijah. That was unexpected. I'm sure some of those disciples that Jesus picked didn't expect to be one of his students, one of his disciples. Amen? How about the woman whose son is deceased, but he's been brought back to her? These are all things they asked God, they prayed, but we never know how it's going to happen. And we don't know when it's going to happen. How about the 5,000 that when Jesus was doing a sermon and he preached to these 5,000, what's he do? He multiplies the fish and the loaves to feed them. The disciples said, Rabbi, how do we feed all these people? Let's send them home. He goes, no, tell them to have a seat. And they said, but Rabbi, all we have are this two loaves and five fish, or five fish and two loaves. That's all we have. It was unexpected how Jesus multiplied. And he fed all of them with 12 baskets left over. How about John 11, 38, 44? Those verses where it says, Jesus calls to Lazarus. He doesn't, when Lazarus dies, he doesn't come hours later and raise him from the dead. He doesn't come, the next day. He comes 4 days later. Like my husband used to say, wouldn't you know Jesus would come when Lazarus stinketh. So, but the thing is, it's when it looks impossible. It looks impossible. That's when we see God move. But where do we stand with that? It's our faith. It's our faith. With that, let's go on to John 9, where Jesus heals the blind man. Who would have thought that Jesus would have used his own spit, put it on the ground, mixed it with mud, to make the dirt and mix it with mud, and slap it over this guy's eyes? Unexpected. unexpected. All of these things that I share with you this morning, it tells us in the vastness of the different ways that God makes a way. God makes all things possible. The woman with the issue of blood, and she scurries through the crowd and just says, with her faith, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. That's faith talking. When you allow your faith to talk, to walk, to put action to your faith, that's when the unexpected happens. That's when God moves. Paul, who was a Pharisee, who was punishing the Christians for sharing the gospel, for spreading the gospel, and here he is riding the horse, gets knocked off the horse, and he hears God say, Paul, Paul, why do thou persecute me? It's then that he realizes what he's done. I wonder if he was thinking, man, was I going the wrong direction with this? The unexpected. God gets his attention, and God uses him, and he's giving out the same message that the others were being persecuted for. He's delivering the same message. He's the same God today as he was then, as he was yesterday. He's no respecter of persons. He will move mightily in our lives if we allow our faith to be the conductor, that we follow our faith. Here's another one. Well, let's do this. In the Bible, it talks about all the blessings. I've given you a number of them today. But with the events that I've just shared with you, with these events and the parables that that Jesus taught us while he was here, all of that combined together should tell us, like it says in 2 Corinthians, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That as we hear the word, we hear the events that took place, how God moved mightily, time and time and time again, how God moved on our behalf. That should allow our faith level to increase, to grow. That's why we are to read the word, to speak the word, to share the word, so that we can help not only our faith level to increase, to grow, but allow others to increase and to grow. That's what we're called for, the Great Commission. The more our faith level increases and grows, we will come to a place in our faith level where we will expect the unexpected from God. I'm going to say that again. When we allow our faith to grow by hearing, by speaking, by walking in the word, when we do that, our faith level is going to continue growing. It's going to mature. It's going to increase in such a way that we'll get to a faith level where we'll have an expectation of the unexpected from God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, so if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts unto you? That is a promise from our heavenly Father to us. That's a promise. But it takes faith. It takes our faith. We have to mix it with that scripture. We have to apply it to whatever we're going through. When we're seeking God's direction, when we have a desire in our heart for something, be it material things or a goal or an accomplishment, God is saying, I am your heavenly Father. I am a good God. I want to give. But he says, I give when you ask. But when you ask, you have to have a faith level. He said, I give to all men a measure of faith. We all start out with a measure of faith. It's up to us. Do we decide whether that faith is going to grow and increase, or are we just going to be happy with the faith level that he gave us? But unfortunately, some, they get just enough of the word in them that they think that faith level that they've been given is enough to last them, that it'll get you through everything. No, God is saying in order to move on in the greater things that I have for you, you have to let that faith level grow. That means coming to service, hearing the word. That means, you know, listening to it on TV or watching it on TV. It's reading the word. It's all of those things. Why does he do that? Why does he want to bless us? Simply because he loves us. And because he loves us, he is faithful to us. And because he's faithful, he says, all things are possible to those who believe, out of Mark chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 8, it says, it talks about the centurion who comes to Jesus and he says, just say the word, Rabbi, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now that's a faith level. And even Jesus says, I have not seen that kind of faith. That's what he's looking for in us today. You know, sometimes we go, Lord, why are you having me go through this? Why do I have to go through this circumstance or this situation? Instead of looking at it like that, we need to say, okay, I'm going through this, Lord. You are very aware of what I'm going through right now. A health situation or a financial situation or fear or doubt or rejection. When you go through those type of things, these are opportunities for us to allow our faith to grow and mature and increase. Because when we get in those type of situations, we're looking for the Savior, the physician. We're looking for the healer, the Prince of Peace. We're looking for the Jehovah Jireh. We're looking for the Messiah who can bring us out of darkness and into the light, to the one that can bring us to the other side. He is the one that we look for. With that, we know that Jesus is our comforter, our source, our Prince of Peace. In Acts, it talks about Peter and John who went to the temple in Acts chapter 3. And they come across the lame man who's been sitting at the entrance of the temple for a long, long time. Long, long time. And what's he usually say? Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Well, when Peter and John get to the temple, that's the first thing he says to Peter and John, the lame man. Alms to the poor. And what did they say? Silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What did they have? They had hope. They had faith. They had healing. Healing that he received. When they reached down and took him by the hand to help him stand up, that's when he received his healing, because faith was an action. He reached up and took their hand. And when they went to stand, that action of faith, by reaching up, that was an action. That was his faith talking. And when his faith talked, that's when he got healed, right then. Because faith is an action. When we go through different trials and situations, when we say, the Lord will get me on the other side. When we say, I am an overcomer, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. When we say that, we are speaking faith. We are experiencing faith. At that same time when we are doing that, our faith is going up another level. These are opportunities not to say, God, why? These are opportunities for us to say, God, show me what you want me to learn from this. Show me how I can see my faith level grow and mature and increase. Give me the tools. Give me the wisdom. Give me the direction. Give me all that I need to get me to the other side. Help me keep my eyes focused on you, not on the circumstance, but on you. And when we do that, that's when we see the unexpected happen. But as children of God, we are told to expect the unexpected from God. We are to expect. He says, if you ask not, you have not, it's because you ask not. When we ask, we're asking in faith. But when we don't see it right away, maybe our faith level gets knocked down a few notches. We can't let that happen. Satan likes to come in. This is where he messes with. This is right here. This is where he starts, is right here. Oh, you messed up too much that time. There's no way he's going to answer that prayer. Or he'll give you 101 reasons why it didn't get answered right away. And then it gives you more doubt and more doubt and more doubt. And you see your faith level going down and down. No, you continue to stand on the word. You continue to confess the word. You continue trusting God in that situation. So with that, because the lame man reached up, that was his act of faith. He stood up and he was totally healed. In Proverbs chapter 16, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs their paths. Now, the reason I chose that scripture today is because I have a story, another story I want to share with you. It's about a woman. Her name is Tony. Tony has a husband who lost his driver's license. I think he was a pastor because he had went to the hospital the day before to visit someone while they were in the hospital. And he thinks that maybe he lost his driver's license while he was at this hospital. So his wife, Tony, decided that she was going to retrace his steps from the day before and go back to the hospital and see if she could find his driver's license. But while she was there, she hears this Christian high school choral group singing. Whether it was a hospital program, I'm not sure what it was, but it definitely got her attention. So she went out of her way once she didn't find the driver's license. She went down the hall, she could hear the music, and she sat and she listened to this Christian high school choral group. She listened through the whole program. She said, it just blessed me and gave me such peace. And she goes, it just kind of fired me up. She goes, it was like I was in the right place at the right time, she said. She was so blessed by that. Well, the thing about Tony is this. Tony was conducting for weeks at a time a Bible study for alcohol and drug users at a rehab center in Alaska where she lived. This is what she did. This is the thing that she did as far as teaching Bible study to this particular group of people. Well, the thing is this, while she was at the hospital and she was listening to this beautiful music, after it was all done, Tony went up to the music director and said how much it meant to her that she was ministered to and that she was so glad that she came, that, you know, the reason for coming, you know, it wasn't productive, she couldn't find the license, but she came and she was so glad that she was there for such a time as this. The thing is this, though, she asked the music director if that group could come to her alcohol and drug rehab Bible study that night and minister and sing to her group. She said they could, and they did. The change that took place in this group of people that had these issues with drugs and alcohol, it changed some of their lives so much. Now, if Tony had not gone to the hospital, none of this would have taken place. None of this. But because Tony, you know, was put at the right place at the right time, she heard the music. The music went to her group, touched and changed lives. It was such a change in some of their lives. It put a hope back in some of them that had no hope. It restored some of them that felt rejected. It did something. It put a hope in some of them. I can sing like that. Can I be a part of your group? It put a new life, a new spring back into some of these people that were going to this rehab group. God's timing. That's why it's unexpected. But God has a plan. God has a plan. And by the way, Tony's husband's driver's license, it wasn't lost. He had it sitting on his chair at home. where he had said it the last time he was in his chair. But listen to this. So Tony, who in the beginning was looking for something that wasn't lost, you got that? That she was looking for something that wasn't lost, found something she wasn't looking for. But that is God. That's what God does. Sometimes we question why I'm here. Like me standing out in the rain on I-80 trying to put straps on furniture and it's pouring down rain. Lord, why? But you know what? I don't know the reason. There might be a day I'll know the reason why. But the point being that when we get in those situations and those circumstances in our lives and we want to know why, sit back and wait, because the unexpected's on its way. God makes all things possible. All things possible to him that believes. When this choir touched the group, this particular group of people that were going through rehab, it changed their lives, it encouraged them, it restored some of them, it filled a void that they had in their heart. It put them back on the right path that God wanted them to be on. And Tony got to be a part of seeing that happen. So when we get in situations like that, say, okay, Lord, I know you got a plan here. Okay, Lord, I don't know what my part in this is, but I'm glad you put me here. I know that you've got something special going on, something unexpected's going to happen. Friday, as I was getting in my car and I was thinking of my grocery list, what I wanted for my groceries, I said, you know, Lord, I haven't had a brats for a while. I'm hungry for brats. And so Saturday came. I was going to get up and go get my groceries at Sullivan's, and I'm the fellowship person for the kitchen today, so I was getting all the stuff for that today for joining. In other words, everyone joined for fellowship after service today. And so I was getting all that stuff. And again, I'm thinking, man, I'd like to buy some brats, but I probably wouldn't be able to eat them all before they were spoiled. So I thought, well, I ain't going to buy any. I pull up to Sullivan's, and the veterans group were having a food thing going on, food stand, and what did they have? Brats. They had brats. And so I'm laughing. I go, Lord, you have such a sense of humor. And I thanked him for it. So last night, my daughter calls and says, Mom, my granddaughter, she says, is having a picnic because they're working on their house, and she wants to know if I want to come out for a cookout. I get out there, and guess what they had? Brats. So God will give us a double portion when we're obedient. When we're obedient, sometimes he gives us a double portion because we're faithful. Because we're faithful. Amen? So, as children of God, if we're going to receive the unexpected power of God in our lives, we have to be faithful to do what's expected of us. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, in order to qualify for the unexpected, we're expected to do some things as well. What are those things? Those things that we're expected to do is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. To love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We are also responsible for the Great Commission, sharing the gospel, the word, not being ashamed of the gospel. God will always make a way for us. He will always put someone in our path. Doesn't mean you have to start preaching to them right away. What it means is, I'm going to bring you a cup of coffee today. Or, you've brought me so many cups of coffee. I bring a cup of coffee to my granddaughter at least 2 or 3 times a week. You shower them with love and kindness. You go out of your way. You call them. You do things for them. Sending them little notes, emails, or saying, thinking of you. Just want you to know that I appreciate you. These are things that you can do to reach out. And then as you do that, you get a relationship going. Once you get that relationship going, they're going to feel comfortable with you, and they're going to open up to you. They're going to share what they're going through. There's your door right there. That's your door right there to share the Great Commission, the gospel. But not only that, we are also required to forgive. Ouch. That's a hard one. Even when we, you know, my son, one day I was mumbling about something. He goes, Mom, take the upper road. Take the upper road, Mom. And amen. I thought, well, my son's telling me that. My son, I must have did something right. My son's telling me to take the higher road. But you know what? Whether we're parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're to be there faithfully for each other and to love on each other, to encourage each other. That's part of what it takes. That's what's expected of us, to answer the call that God has put on our lives. With that, Father, in closing, teach us, as we've heard your word today, that as we do what you expect us to do, when we are faithful and obedient to follow your will, your word, your commandments, that you, Father, show us the unexpected mighty move of your hand in our lives, that we serve you, God, a God who does things, and it might not be how we think it should be done. We serve a God who is an unexpected God, a God who makes all things possible, a God who does things exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. And because of that, Heavenly Father, that you never leave us or forsake us, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, and we worship you, we adore you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. And Father, as we go through this week, help us to stop for a moment and think, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn here? What is it you want me to do? You've brought me to a place for such a time as this. Tell me what it is that you want me to do, and I will be obedient. I will be obedient and serve you. And I thank you, Father. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.